Your brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The season of Lent, we've been trying to focus on the cross, to focus on God's calling you. As I said a few weeks ago, Satan and all the evil forces want to distract us from that truth. They want us to fall back to the old ways of doing things. They want us to fall back to the ways of the old Adam. They want us to be like that son I was mentioning a few minutes ago that wanted to do things his own way rather than the new way. The call to this new life occurred when you were called by the gospel. And one place where we might see that happening, one place where that took place, was in the physical and spiritual sign of your baptism. As Paul wrote to the brothers and sisters in Rome, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So often we hear this text read when we're gathered around the body of a loved one, be it a family member, a neighbor, or a brother or sister in Christ. This is so often read from the pastoral care companion when there is the viewing here in the church or at the funeral home. We can see why we read this text as we continue it from Romans. "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." Again, these words quite easily point to being read at a funeral, thinking about these things at the end of life. But they apply even now. Paul makes this very explicit in our epistle text for this morning. He writes, "The new has come." As we focus on this section of his second letter to the Corinthians, we'll see how there is no squirming around this truth and how much of a blessing that is for us and for those around us. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Do you have human enemies? Stop and think about that for a minute. Do you have human enemies? There might be names or faces that come to your mind immediately when you hear that word, or maybe after a few moments. But then if you think about what that means, what does it mean to have human enemies? You might realize that you don't. Or if you think that you still do, regard them as such no longer. For your anger toward your fellow man or woman, Jesus went to the cross, and he has called you to a new life. We no longer have enemies of the flesh. The enemies that we have are now are the rulers and authorities, the cosmic powers over this evil time, and the spiritual forces of evil, even in the heavenly realms. These forces would have you expend all of your energy fighting with your brothers and sisters of the flesh. Or better yet, that you would spend all of your time fighting with each other rather than focusing on the cross of Calvary. Through your baptism, your old has passed away. The new has come. Today. Not when you die. Today. According to your baptismal rites, you no longer regard your Savior according to the flesh. But what does that mean? Well, so many people these days will say, yeah, Jesus is a good person, or he was a good teacher, or he was a good prophet. That is thinking of him according to the flesh. But we don't regard him that way anymore. We regard him as our personal Savior, my personal Savior, and your personal Savior. He has borne your personal sin and given you his gifts. But he is not just your Savior. He is the Savior of the world, even those you might have formerly considered enemies. It doesn't matter if they did something as simple as stealing your pen as you're cashiering at Walmart or cutting you off on the highway, or something as serious as offending your name, stealing from you, or beating you up. We regard all people the same way, how Christ views them. How does Jesus view the person that you consider your enemy? What did Jesus do for that person? Did he die for them, just as he did for you? None of us had any chance of saving ourselves, and Jesus reversed the outcome we all rightly deserve. Eternity in hell, without the love of others, and without his love. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. God sent his Son to save you and the world. The deed has been done. It is finished. The old has passed away. The new has come. But the old does not stay away so easily, as I'm sure that you're well aware. It wants to creep back in. As surely as a snake can find a small hole and fit its whole body through, that is how easily your old nature comes back to you if you give it even the smallest of openings. Yes, we may start out wanting to tell everyone the gospel, but then something happens. Someone does something to offend us. They rebuke us or call us names. They insult our intelligence. They threaten to kill us. And suddenly we find ourselves in the position of Jonah. Sure, we want to tell everybody that we like the good news, but not our enemies, not those dangerous people, not the Ninevites. We don't want them to turn and believe. Again, what does Jesus see when he looks at our Ninevites, our enemies, today? Does he see enemies? Or does he see lost sheep who need a shepherd? Does Jesus hold their trespasses against them any more than he does against you? Would you want him to side with them if the situation were reversed? Which of you is not a brother or sister to someone else? Which of you is not a father or a mother, an aunt or an uncle? Do you want any of your family members not to come to the truth? You already well know that we are all connected. If you go back far enough, you get back to Noah, and if you go back beyond Noah, we get to Adam and Eve. We're all connected. We're all related. We have all come from Adam and Eve, and we have all descended in sin, the very sin which God laid on his Son for your sake. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is what Lent is all about, and not just Lent, all of life in Christ. Where we do not always keep our focus on the cross, Jesus did. Where we too often make enemies from those just as lost as us, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Through his work, your forgiveness has come from God the Father. By Jesus' death and resurrection, and not just for you, but for everyone. The problem is that not everyone knows it. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Your old goals and your old animosities have gone. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. With this new comes new goals and new relationships. You no longer live for yourself, but you use your gifts and your talents in the service of others. And as you do this, you find that your relationships grow. Your idea of family expands beyond just mother and father, sister and brother, and aunts and uncles. It expands to all of humanity in the flesh, and especially to your friends and brothers and sisters in Christ here in the church. With his family comes new struggles and new joys. How many of you celebrate your birthday? Is that not God's gift of life to you? And you celebrate it, right? At least once a year, I would guess. How much more can you celebrate this new life in Christ? Every day. That's what it is to remember your baptism. To remember that and know that through Jesus going to the cross for your sake, you are a new creature. Birth and baptism are both one-time events, but they have effects that last your entire life. Birth, in the natural sense, according to this world, has an end. Second birth, baptism, has no end. In Christ Jesus, you and everyone who comes to believe in Him will have life everlasting. And that new life starts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.